First reading is taken from Acts chapter 1. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room and where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Peter, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120 and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no evil to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the times that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward to Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from 1 John chapter 5. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God, that he is born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God is born concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you're able, please rise for the gospel reading. The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. "And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except for the Son of Destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I did not ask that they be taken out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also might be sanctified in truth." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. For several years, I've been part of my two sons' backpacking trips with the Boy Scouts. We did high adventure trips that lasted over about 5 days. Part of our trip was to prepare our gear and to make sure we had everything that we needed for our adventures. One of the things that is always required, as you heard during the children's message, are the 10 essentials. And Tim, hopefully I got these right. If not, just say something, because it's been a while. But here's what I found. You're supposed to have a pocket knife, first aid kit, extra clothing, rain gear, water bottle, flashlight or a headlamp, trail food, matches or fire starter, sun protection, map and compass, and also two forms of water purification. I think that's all of them, yeah. These items are important and needed before you go on a hike. Now also, you probably know I also do some hunting. And part of hunting, we hike in several miles to our elk camp. So along with the 10 essentials that we take with us, we also will start carrying something else. Where we hunt, there are cougars and bears, and we've seen both. And just recently, we've learned of a wolf pack that's moved in just a couple miles from where we hunt. So along with our hunting rifles, we're considering other protections, just in case, along with our 10 essentials. Here in our gospel reading today, the disciples are getting their 10 essentials from Jesus. Jesus prays that they would also be protected from the evil one, as they very soon will be sent out into the world. Even though it's been several weeks from Easter for us, in the biblical timeline, it's just been a few weeks. And these are the same disciples that earlier had abandoned Jesus, denied and betrayed him. Despite all the time that they had spent with Jesus, Jesus is speaking, and hearing them speak of the fulfillment of the scriptures, they saw Jesus heal people and raise people from the dead. The disciples in this situation seem to be very stagnant. But what would you expect? Some of these disciples were illiterate. Others were hated tax collectors. And still, some were just simple fishermen. Maybe this is one reason why the disciples struggled to understand what Jesus was speaking about. Yet they were about to be sent into the world. They didn't really have a title, but if you could give them a title, you could call them a missionary pastor. Which kind of rubs me a little wrong because, well, the last 3 years I've been taking classes 3 times a week in the evenings. I've had vicarage assignments to complete. I've had a new ministry to start. And this all included the 4 years I needed of undergrad and an internship when I was a DCE. And I will not be called a missionary for another year. But I guess if I had the Son of God as my professor, I could probably be a missionary, well, I wouldn't say 3 years, maybe four with my pace. Speaking of missionary pastors, I was just watching two of my classmates get their calls from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Somewhere in the middle of that service, they were talking about the need for pastors. And I might have this wrong, but from what the math I quickly did, there's like 30 churches that were without a request for a pastor or a vicar. In fact, the nature of church work is changing more than ever. About 10 years ago, I was part of a continuing education support group within our district. The group that I was put with, we called ourselves the Thunder Kittens. It's a long story and one that's not appropriate for here. But there were 5 of us originally. Now that group has grown to about 9 members throughout the U.S., and we actually have one up in Canada now. Out of the 5 original members, I'm the only one left in church work. The other 4, one including a master's degree in family ministry, are all in different fields not related to ministry. 3 of them left due to stress or burnout or just difficulties within their ministry. I hear this often, more pastors and other church workers are leaving the ministry due to burnout. This has become such a problem that a friend of mine who serves as the associate professor of education for the DCE program at Concordia, Nebraska, is working on her doctoral thesis for leadership studies. Her focus is on leaders with the dark triad personality traits and how it creates organizational trauma in the church, which can lead to cycles of generations, something more common now in churches than ever before. And as my friend continues her research and gathering information, she has been warned that there'll be potential threats against her work. Ironically, this is the very thing she's trying to help prevent. And we need church workers, now more than ever, especially in a world growing hostile towards the Christian church. And Jesus knew this when he prayed over his disciples, knowing that the difficulties that lied ahead of them. When he says in John 17:17, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." This world we live in is filled with sin, something that Jesus is not. But he became sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We have salvation now, and someday we'll be with God in heaven and no longer feel the pains and the difficulties of this world. This seems to be lacking with the disciples. They seem to struggle with what Jesus spoke about. Well, they did not have the New Testament and the letters that Paul and others wrote that we have. They did have Jesus teaching and revealing the scriptures to them. Yet we find the disciples in the same situation, struggling what to do next. And Jesus knows this. He prayed what we call the priestly prayer for his disciples, giving them protection and keeping them sanctified in the truth. If we go back a little further in John, we see the evidence of what the disciples needed leading up to this moment. In John 8, he writes this. "So Jesus said to the disciple, Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, and you are truly my disciples, if you know the truth will set you free.'" This is the very thing that Jesus is praying over when he says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth," in verse 17. But it wasn't until I read more on this particular section of the scripture that I discovered why the disciples were slow to understand their role as Jesus' disciples. In John 14:26, it says this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Notice Jesus says, "will send." While the Spirit is with the disciples, the Spirit will sanctify them in the truth, teaching them everything that Jesus had said. What I also find interesting about this section of Scripture is that God's chosen people are living as captives in their own land. They're under the control of the Romans. Jesus was killed, and the disciples feel like they're next. So 11 disciples, and we think there's some other followers with them, and Jesus had appeared to what we think maybe was a couple hundred people after his resurrection. Yet how large was the church at this time? It's likely it was the smallest it'll ever be. Yet this would soon change. And next Sunday we'll hear about when the Spirit descends onto the disciples and the church begins to grow. Jesus is not stressing the importance of restoring a political nation. He doesn't talk about church memberships or how the church should have a growth plan. His only plan rests on these 11 disciples and soon to be other disciples. While the need for more church workers is evident, the greater need is for more people to actively share the gospel. While church membership is important, what Jesus emphasizes to his disciples is also stressed to believers today, sharing the gospel with those without faith. This is a crucial mission and requires our immediate attention and action. Sometimes we imagine that success is building our local institution and saving our church. We're not making Lutherans. We're making disciples of Christ. Success may not always coincide with institutional success. We are servants of Jesus, his church, and this congregation is an instrument of his kingdom. As long as we serve it, he will bless it. We witness that in confidence, and we want to separate the pressure to save the parish from the witnessing task. All those who have faith are a witness of the truth to an unbelieving world, something only a person of faith would understand. This is why in John 14:17, Jesus makes this claim. When the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells within you and will be with you. And how do they know the Spirit of truth? If they hear about it. As stated in Romans 12:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The Spirit works when there is a gap to the bridge. As long as Jesus was with the disciples, there was no gap. But now, having left in one sense, Jesus is more present because the Spirit makes him present, not in another person, but in us and through us. We experience Jesus now much more intimately than the disciples did. You might not have years of training in ministry, or you might have very little. We all at times maybe don't feel adequate in being able to share the gospel message. But this is where Jesus comes in. Jesus has packed our backpacks for us. We have all the essentials that we need. Here the shell represents the Holy Spirit that we receive in our baptisms. The same Holy Spirit that comes and rests on the disciples and enables them to proclaim the gospel of Jesus also helps us to proclaim the gospel. And we have the cross. The cross is how Jesus sanctifies us through his death on the cross and forgiving our sins. And then the other thing that Jesus packs for us is his word. Here we hear the word, the truth of the word, and the capital here in W stands for the word, which is Christ and his message. And there's one more thing that's here in our bags, and that is what Jesus did at the end of the scripture when he prayed for his disciples that they would be protected from the evil one. Martin Luther wrote about the need for prayer and meditation on the scripture. He says this: for as soon as God's word takes root and grows in you, the devil will hurry you and make you a real doctor of it. By his assaults, will teach you to seek and love God's word. The assaults have come. Burnout is high among church workers. The Christian faith is and will always be under attack. As long as we are in this world, the evil one attacks those who have faith in Jesus. But have faith. You have the essentials. The Spirit is here for us now. It is the Spirit who turns the bread and wine into the sustaining body and blood of Jesus that we'll soon partake in. It is the Spirit that empowers us to preach and the message of forgiveness and love to people who desperately need to hear it. The Holy Spirit would be the answer, and next Sunday we'll celebrate that day when Peter will stand cowardly questioning Peter, who a short few weeks before had denied that he knew Jesus. That Peter will stand and deliver an amazing sermon, and thousands will believe and be baptized. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not limited to the day of Pentecost. We also has it in mind that, and he also has us in mind when he prays this prayer. We too are sanctified in the truth. God has taken up his presence in your life, and that means he has rendered you holy. It is true that sinners cannot be tolerated in the presence of the Holy Spirit, but he has not lashed out righteous anger. But he has instead sent Jesus into the flesh, and today has made us holy by his gift. We are fitted with the dwelling place for God, not by our deeds, but his deeds. Rejoice today. Jesus has given you the essentials that you need. Jesus has prayed for you, and God has heard that prayer, and you are sanctified in truth. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.